There are so many good reasons to give to Wisconsin Public Radio, and this drive, one of them is that your donation of any amount gets you entered in a drawing for a $500 gift card to a grocery store near you. You'll have 5 chances to win. We hope you'll donate to enter, but you don't have to donate to win. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Sustainers, we've got you covered. You're automatically entered. Check out the rules and details at wpr.org/drawing. Your donation of any amount right now gets you entered. Here's how to give.
Lots of reasons. Dollar for dollar match as well. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Take advantage of this match. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Arnold. Your support during the spring membership drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount that you set, that is the right amount.
And there is that dollar for dollar match. So take advantage of that as well at 888-202-2552 or online at WPR.org. And, you know, giving to WPR is easy. It's not an elaborate process. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay. That's it.
Simple, easy. It just takes a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes fund your daily listening. That is a lasting impact. Your support right now, it truly makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And that dollar for dollar match is still in effect. There's still room for your gift to be matched. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and your support for WPR will go twice as far.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you into that drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. So great. You'll have 5 chances to win. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to double your impact. Sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
And it really is a win-win-win situation right now. You get great programming, you get a chance to win a $500 grocery gift card, and your money is doubled. So there's no reason not to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. And if you're not a sustainer, you should become one right now because it's easy to set up and you can make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support to this service that you rely on and love.
Gretchen from Verona says, I thoroughly enjoy your programming. Heard from Esther in Madison says, your reminder inspired me to give and the fact that I really enjoy WPR daily. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. We're looking at a program called Opening Avenues to Reentry Success. The acronym is OARS here on The Morning Show. It's a program that opens to inmates at all 36 adult prisons in Wisconsin, and now Governor Tony Evers wants to expand the program statewide. Do you work in the criminal justice system? What benefits and drawbacks do you see to programs like OARS that are intended to reduce recidivism among people with mental health conditions? Call in at 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. Danielle Kading is a reporter at WPR's Superior Bureau. She's host of the WPR regional show Hear Me Out. Danny, welcome back.
Good morning, Kate.
So as we look at OARS, can you tell us basically what this program is providing people as they get out of prison?
So when they're released from prison, it gives them a team of people to work with that helps them become more successful as they transition back into their community by providing a number of things or resources like affordable housing, treatment, psychiatric care, anything from transportation. You know, it's a variety of things that can be provided through this program,
including job resources as well, which is really important as people transition.
Yeah, because the whole goal of this program is that they're there to help support someone as they're going through this transition, but it's temporary. So they want people to be able to advocate for themselves and be more successful once they're out of the program. And obviously, financial independence would play a big role in that.
So logistically speaking, do participants gain access to the program in the county where they were incarcerated or in the county where they reside?
Well, generally speaking, offenders are sent back to the community that they last lived in and receive services there. But again, there are only services provided through this program in 44 counties right now.
And this program is voluntary. Is there any effort to increase participation rates?
Well, yes. I mean, they've been growing the program since it first began in 2010. When they first started, they had 23 counties that were taking part, and now they have 44. But, you know, as far as people, offenders taking part in this program, they have to be recommended by a staff person, and there's a number of criteria that they have to meet. They have to, one, be medium or high risk on the COMPASS risk assessment, which is a tool that the Department of Correction uses to define the risks or needs that someone might have once they're released from prison or jail. They have to be diagnosed with a serious mental illness. And they have to participate for at least 6 months under supervision of the Department of Corrections.
How long has this program been around, and how did it get established?
Well, this program's been around since 2010. That's when they first began enrolling people in the program. It was based off of another program that the Department of Health Services has been operating since the early 90s, called the Conditional Release Program. That program, I believe, serves people who were considered not guilty by reason of mental defect. This program relates to people who have been found guilty but have a major mental health condition and need assistance or could use assistance once they're released from prison.
So Governor Evers is looking to expand the coverage across the state, and the budget would add just under $4 million per year to the program. What could that kind of money allow ORS to do?
So the expansion that's being proposed under the governor's budget would potentially allow 225 more people to participate in the program. And obviously it would then be offered in every county. So that means that, you know, maybe right now there's someone who would like to participate in the program, but they're from northwestern Wisconsin. And so if that program isn't offered or those services aren't offered in their region, they can't access it. Now that would no longer be a barrier if this were approved by the legislature moving forward.
And this additional funding would also underwrite a new position at the Department of Health Services. What would that job entail?
So that would help with administering the program, and I think there's about $75,000 to $100,000 included in the next budget under the Department of Health Services, and that would assist them in working with the five agencies that DHS contracts with to help connect offenders to providers in their region and help them connect to services in general.
We're talking with WPR reporter Danielle Kading about an inmate program called ORS. It stands for Opening Avenues to Reentry Success. And it's designed to help offenders get established in their life after prison, specifically for people who have severe mental illness. Have you or a friend or a loved one participated in ORS? What was that experience like? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a transitional program that specifically helps inmates who have major mental health conditions. Talking about the OARS program on the morning show. It stands for Opening Avenues to Reentry Success. It's a program offered in all of Wisconsin's adult prisons geared toward inmates with mental health issues who are at risk of reoffending. Have you had experiences with this program? Should the program be expanded under Governor Evers? We're at 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based at our Superior Bureau. She's at our side. And Danielle, let's go to the phones now with Michael joining us from southwestern Wisconsin with thoughts on this program. Michael, hi.
How are you doing?
Doing well. What are your thoughts here?
Well, what I feel based on my 30 years working in law enforcement is that this program has been kind of maybe modeled off of what the Germans have done. The German correctional officers started becoming trained in psychology and counseling to help their offender and their recidivism rate. And it showed a great deal of success. And I think the plan should be looked at being expanded into even the county jails, because that's really kind of where a lot of things can get turned around quickly. And having worked out in southwestern Wisconsin, the best correctional officers that I've worked with had some understanding of that, and on a limited scale, were very successful at this.
Michael, thank you for that input there. Danny, do we know how successful OARS has been at reducing recidivism rates?
Yeah, over a three-year period from about 2014 to 2016, they found that people who took part in the OARS program had a 31% recidivism rate, and people who weren't enrolled had a 35% rate of reoffending. So it's showing some success for those who take part in this program that they're more likely to remain independent and not commit other crimes.
So there is some success, but not a huge difference. How do health and corrections department officials see these numbers?
I think they see it as a very positive thing. You know, the program is still kind of young, and they've been tracking it more recently. And as they get more data, they'll be able to see the success over time. And so I think that they see this as evidence that it is working. Obviously, you know, not everyone is going to be successful that goes through the program, but if you can help some people to avoid reoffending, then that reduces costs for state and county taxpayers, you know, as far as them going back into the system.
How could access to a program like OARS be helpful to rural communities in particular?
Well, up in northern Wisconsin, they've really been pushing to bring this program here because there is difficulty accessing resources like treatment or transportation to get to those services, you know, that might not be provided in the area. And so I spoke with Bayfield County Administrator Mark Abels Allison this week, and this is something that he would like to see because there are few resources in northern Wisconsin, and anything could help them. That would be a benefit to them.
And this program is cooperative. It's between two agencies, Corrections Department and Department of Health Services. Do you get a sense that this program is a solid collaboration, that two different agencies can work together on a program, or would this be better suited under one roof?
You know, it looks like it's been really successful between the two agencies working together to try and help these individuals maintain their independence, become stable, and live a meaningful life after incarceration. I think that they would argue that, you know, you can be isolated if you're just working within your particular department and not realizing the needs that might be there if you were to look at some other aspect of that. So by working together, they're able to address it in a holistic approach rather than just tackling it through one agency.
Danny, thank you for joining us and getting us up to speed.
Thank you, Kate.
Danielle Kading is a reporter at WPR's Superior Bureau, host of WPR's Hear Me Out. We've been talking about a program that helps offenders with significant mental health issues get established after they're released from prison. Coming up after the news, we'll talk about the dangers of falls among the elderly. Stay with us for that conversation right here on the Ideas Network. taking a fall can be very deadly. We're talking about falls here on The Morning Show. According to a report last year by the CDC, Wisconsin has the nation's highest rate of deadly falls among the elderly. More than 1,300 Wisconsinites 65 or older died from falls in 2016, and that's a rate more than double the national average. Are you an older adult who's fallen and suffered complications? What happened? Do you know someone who was healthy but began to decline after a fall? Join in at 800-642-1234. Betsy Abramson is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. Betsy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
So these statistics coming out of Wisconsin, really alarming here, having the highest rate in the nation for falls. What's behind
Indeed.
This? What do we know?
Well, first and foremost, we think that we report better than other states. So that may be it right there, that we have a better system of reporting falls than other states. So it may be that there's the same rate other places, but just that we report better. But I think there are a couple other factors worth considering, too. One of those is that we have a higher incidence of problem drinking, and that's true for Wisconsinites of all ages. And if you keep over-drinking, when you get older and your metabolism is different and you're more frail, that's going to be a problem. Obviously, alcohol affects balance, and balance affects your risk of falls. So that's one thing. We also know that injuries from falls are greater amongst Caucasian folks than they are amongst African Americans. And because we're such a white state, with that may be skewing our statistics as well, that we have a higher rate because we are so much whiter than other states. People often think it's because of the weather. It's not. We have the same rate of falls. Our rate of falls is really not any different in February than it is in August. In fact, most people stay indoors more when it's the cold and icy and slippery weather, which, of course, it keeps you from falling, but it also will add to the atrophy of not moving around as much. So it's not the weather, because you look at the other Midwestern states and they're doing a whole lot better than we are.
Betsy, what happens when you fall? What kind of complications result?
It's terribly tragic. About 50% of older adults who fall die within the year after their fall. And it's often a spiraling, cascading situation where either you decide, well, I fell and I'm just going to be more careful now. And by careful, that means I'm not going to go anywhere or do anything. And folks will self-isolate. And that's bad. Loneliness and isolation and not getting involved is a bad thing. Other people who maybe break a hip or have a head injury obviously have all kinds of other complications that follow that. If you have to go into a facility because of some rehab, 40% of nursing home admissions in Wisconsin are due to a fall, and a lot of those folks never leave the nursing home. The families incorrectly think, well, she's fallen a lot, and she'll be safe and she won't fall because she'll be in a facility. But if you saw the articles that David Wahlberg published on Monday, you see that 27% of the falls in Wisconsin happen in facilities. So that's not a good thing to move someone into a facility just to avoid falls.
Well, Jim has some recent experience with falling. Jim in Appleton. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
What is your story?
Last January 23rd, not that I remember the date, I was walking down the sidewalk to shovel snow at somebody's house, and apparently I hit a little rip of ice along one edge of the sidewalk, and I woke up lying on my back thinking, boy, my leg hurts, and I made it back to the house, called my wife, and she said I was talking like a crazy man on the phone. So we ended up going to the emergency room. I had apparently knocked myself out. I don't have any recollection for about 6 hours afterwards, but I tore my quadriceps tendon off my kneecap. and that had to be surgically repaired.
Jim, how are you doing today?
Good. I'm pretty much back to normal activity. I, thankfully for a great surgeon, and, you know, we're lucky we live in an area of the world where we can get the medical care we do. There was some thought I had a neurological event, a seizure or a stroke or something that had caused me to fall. So I saw a neurologist, and because I did not have any headache, I didn't have any evidence that I hit my head. And he said, there's no way you didn't have a concussion. You loosen your memory that long. But he said, normally when I see guys like you that are on blood thinners that hit their head, it's to drill a hole in their skull to relieve the pressure. So,
well, Jim was really lucky here. Betsy, what medications are most likely to cause dizziness, which can impact falling?
A lot of the medications that older folks are on, various blood pressure pills, and certainly a lot of pills for mental health issues and other areas. I'm not a physician, so I can't name those for you, but there is a whole list of medications that were identified by a physician named Dr. Beers, and they're called the Beers List, what we call FRIDs, falls risk inducing increasing drugs. And it's real important for older folks to spend some time with their physician going over their medications to see if there's a substitute medication that maybe addresses the same health issue they have but isn't a falls risk increasing drug, or to see if they should take it at a different time or with or without food or whatever. So it's real important to have a medication review. And I'm glad you brought that up, Kate, because the issue now and the strategy in falls is really about prevention. It's really important to know that falls are not a normal part of aging. They can be prevented. And this, we can reduce this terrible statistic of 1 in 4 older adults falling every year by engaging in preventive strategies. And one is, as you mentioned, getting a thorough medication review. Our agency is the national license holder of a wonderful falls prevention program called Stepping On. And it was developed in Australia, and it was brought to the United States by Dr. Jane Mahoney, who's a researcher and geriatrician at our very own University of Wisconsin Medical School. And this has been proven to reduce falls by 31%. And it's endorsed by the CDC, the same agency that identified Wisconsin, because of it, of its components. And it's a very valuable program throughout the state.
This is a 7-week program that gives older adults really the tools they need to prevent falls?
That's right.
What are some tips and, you know, we could give people to that they can get out of this type of program?
Great. It's a 7-week program. That's 2 hours each week. And it's multifactorial, meaning that it addresses a lot of the different domains that are critical in falls prevention. Probably one of the most important is that it teaches exercises that have been evidence-based to reduce falls. Walking is great, you know, running on a treadmill is great, but those aren't evidence-based reduced falls. So we, our facilitators of this program, lead folks in exercises that they continue to do at home that are specifically designed balance and strength exercises to reduce falls. Another domain is the medication review. A pharmacist comes into the class at one of the sessions and talks about these, answers the question that you asked me, Kate, about what specific drugs are risky for older adults. A vision review is very important. I think one of the people mentioned in the articles that ran this week about the danger of wearing bifocals, how you use a thorough vision review to make sure that your glasses are correct, and that if you're wearing bifocals, you know how to use them so that you're not looking down through the bifocal part when you're going down the steps, because that was designed for reading. And then we also bring in some folks who talk about community mobility, how to be safe when you're out and about in the community, what's safe footwear, what's good sleep hygiene. So it's a very broad-based effort, a program where the older adults really learn from each other as the facilitators guide them through these preventive framework and the preventive strategies in falls prevention.
Betsy, this prevention starts at a really early age. I want to tell you you that there is a poster on the front of the entrance of my elementary school where the kids are, and it says, walk like penguins. And the instructions are taped to the front of the school door. Soften knees, point toes out, take baby steps, go slowly, and keep hands free. And it's a really good reminder early on about how you walk in difficult conditions.
Right, how you walk in ice. I've seen those signs in a lot of older adult facilities as well. Right, and that's part of that is the safe footwear too on ice of being careful about what kinds of shoes or boots you wear. And we have a display table in stepping on so folks can actually feel and touch the different gadgets and items that will help them. Something called like a yak track, that's a kind of a clamp on cleat that you can put on one pair of boots that you're going to wear in the winter and just keep those on there. So anytime you're walking on ice, and heaven knows we've had plenty of it this winter, that you know that you will have that extra traction for it, for walking.
Betsy, we have to start to wrap up now, but what can family members do to help their loved ones who they think might be at risk of falling?
I think it's really important to let family members know that you're not talking about you've fallen, we're going to yank you out of here and put you in a facility, but rather help them identify what it takes to keep them independent. Home modifications, and I'm sorry I didn't mention that earlier, home modifications are incredibly important. And having a thorough review of your home, things like removing the throw rugs or getting that sticky tape underneath, taking a good look at the bathroom, and family members can help bring in someone or pay for the grab bars. And certainly additional lighting is very important throughout the home. The few pennies more you're going to pay in your utility bill is well worth it to make sure that your hallways and your bathroom are well lit. That you look in your kitchen to make sure that the items you use the most are accessible, and your heavens, please don't climb on chairs or counters to get those items. Get a nice sturdy stool with the right back to it. So there's a lot of things that the older adults will learn themselves in stepping on and then can bring home and discuss with their families and have a game plan for making those changes.
Betsy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Betsy Abramson is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This conversation about falls, you hear it on the morning show on the Ideas Network.